It's time for a solid hour of Tea Party Power.
And now, here's Janine Garofalo's favorite tea-bagging redneck, Mark Gillar.
Welcome to the Tea Party Power Hour. My name is Mark Gillar. I'll be your host as we talk to Dr. Jerome Corsi. He's been the author of many New York Times best-selling books, but he's not here to talk to us about that today. He's here to talk to us about a recent article that he's written regarding a secret ring, or at least a ring with a secret encryption that Barack Obama has been wearing for over 30 years. Dr. Corsi, welcome back to the show.
Great to be with you, Mark. Thank you.
Always a pleasure to have you here. I've lost count of how many times you've been on, but we appreciate it every single time you come. Want to dive right into this ring thing. You know, I am about, a little more than a year and a half younger than Barack Obama. And when I saw those rings of Obama, those pictures, rather, of Obama wearing the ring back in the 80s, my first thought was is that he was in a gay relationship, because I can remember, you know, back during the 80s, working at a mall during college to help put myself through, and there was one particular store where all the gay guys worked, and some of those guys wore wedding rings to indicate that in their minds they were married to their gay lovers. So that was my first thought. Is that where the initial interest in the ring started?
Yes. I mean, well, you know, first of all, Mark, it started as a curiosity. I have looked at these pictures of Obama, you know, of his past for years now. I mean, going back to 2006, when I first really began to pay attention to Obama. And, you know, I never saw the ring. Then suddenly, one day, around July, I was looking at the photograph of Obama when he was attending Columbia, with Obama sitting in the bench in front of Central Park. Appears to be on Fifth Avenue, and you know, with his grandparents, and when he's attending Columbia as a college student. And I looked at this hand, and Obama's got a wedding ring on. Left hand, wedding ring finger, oh, gold band. I said, you know, I've never seen that before. I said, I wonder, you know, was Obama married? We didn't ever hear about it. Was he married before he married Michelle? That was my first thought. And then I started looking back to other Obama pictures, and every Obama picture I found that showed his left hand clearly, going back to Occidental in 1981, showed this wedding ring. He was wearing it in when he went to Africa. He was wearing it at Columbia. He was wearing it at Harvard. In fact, the second article I wrote, I even found there was this Harvard Law Review spoof issue, a satire issue that the Law Review does every year, and the students spoofed in a Dewar's Scotch ad, which was popular at the time, profiled Barack Obama as the president of the Law Review, and under his latest accomplishments, they wrote that among his latest accomplishments was his persistent refusal to answer questions about the ring on his left hand. So I realized that not only had Obama been wearing this ring for at least now 11 years before he married Michelle from 1981 until he married Michelle in 1992, but that the ring had been questioned by students. It was confirmed that he was doing it at Harvard by that statement, and he hadn't answered questions about it, so he was hiding something. Saying, what's he hiding? My first thought, too, was, and it may still be, you know, a gay thing, that he was wearing this ring to keep women away. He was, we've got articles that he, a testimony from John Drew that believes that Obama was in a gay relationship with Hassan Chandu, his roommate in Pakistan. The gay rumors, and I've been writing extensively about it in WND, because now more and more people are talking about on the record, or at least their comments on the record. We have to hide their identity sometimes. But they're saying Obama gay history is, I think, now pretty well established that Obama's at least bisexual.
Dr. Corsi, let me jump in for just a second. Could you repeat the name of the roommate with whom he is rumored to have had a gay relationship?
Hassan Chandu.
And to satisfy my curiosity and the curiosity of my listeners, is that the same individual with whom he posed very closely on a couch?
No, that's another. That's a guy named, I believe, Siddiqui. He was also Pakistani, but a different guy. That's the guy that the close posing together with almost, you know, on each other's laps is in Colombia. That's a New York City picture.
What I can tell you, again, Doctor.
The other relationship was with at Occidental in California.
Gotcha. What I can tell you, again, as somebody who's a little more than a year and a half younger than Barack Obama, is that the whole gay thing was exploding during that time that Barack Obama and I were both in college. It was just absolutely exploding. There was this whole thing about if you only wore one earring, you had to be careful which ear you wore it on, or you might send the wrong signal. And I can tell you, and again, this isn't the person you're saying you had the gay relationship with, but a lot of people have commented to me that that picture of him on the couch with his roommate is just way the hell too close for two males to be sitting together. The whole gay rights thing, the gay parades, all that was going on, the earring thing, the wearing the wedding rings. It was just like the coming out party for the gay community during that time that we were in college. Those of us who weren't gay wanted to make darn sure that we weren't sending the wrong signals at that time. And I got to tell you, practically sitting in a guy's lap on a couch, as far as I would have been concerned as a teenager and someone in my early 20s back in the 80s, that would have been sending the wrong signal.
Well, I even had that picture analyzed to see if they were holding hands. And we couldn't validate that on the picture of Obama. And, to get back to the ring analysis,
sure.
The marble went through the bottom of the bowl for me, the hole at the bottom of the bowl, when last week the New Yorker published these two new pictures of Obama at Occidental. And the pictures had a really clear view of the ring. Before, I just seen it as a gold band. But now it was clear that this was the intricate designed ring that was the same ring that Obama claimed to have used when he married Michelle. Now, Huffington Post had published pictures of the wedding ring, and the wedding ring and the ring he was wearing at Occidental were identical. So, you know, Obama had worn for 11 years the ring he was using to marry Michelle with this, ultimately we found out it had with an inscription to Allah in it, and a United Church of Christ marriage, a Protestant marriage, a Christian marriage, using a ring with an Islamic inscription on it. And Michelle did not buy him that ring. That ring was not bought for the marriage in 1992. He was using this Islamic ring that he'd been wearing since 1981, which I think is odd.
Dr. Corsi, let me throw two criticisms at you. I'm kind of split on these. I've had people send me emails saying, oh, well, you know, that's not the same ring. And I've looked at the pictures, and I just want to say for the record, there's no doubt in my mind that that is the same ring. Yeah, it is. And the second criticism, though, is that while some of the little, when you look at the tracings that you guys provided and that Joel Gilbert provided in his more detailed report, when you look at those tracings, some of them seem to be right on the money, but some of them don't seem to be that close to what's on the ring. I mean, it's almost like when you look at the clouds and you can trace them 1,000 different ways. When you guys had experts confirm that this was indeed an Islamic inscription, did you show them those tracings or did you just give them the ring raw and
no,
say, hey?
No, we gave them the ring raw. We just gave them the picture.
Okay.
And I'm going to publish, writing back today, another article, more detailed on how the analysis was done so you can see more of the inscription and how it fits on the ring. But the Islamic... See, what happened was after I realized it was the same ring that he was wearing in college and was wearing at the wedding, I said, what's the meaning of this ring? What's its significance? And I started looking at it, and I shared it with Joel Gilbert, who did the Dreams of My Real Father's DVD, because Joel has... You know, he's an expert in the Middle East. He's done two films on Islam, and he speaks Arabic and he speaks Hebrew. And Joel looked at it, and we're talking on the phone, the first time Joel had ever seen the ring, and he says, this ring says Allah. And so the Allah just jumped out at Joel, and then we sent it to Mark Gilbert, who is, of course, a very well-known Islamic scholar. And Mark said, well, what it really says is there is no God but Allah. And he said that said in the first, there's two two bars of script, and he said, if you read both, there is no God but Allah. And so that's the first part of what a prayer known as the Shahada. The Shahada prayer in Islam has a second line to it, which is, you know, there is no God but Allah, and Muhammad is his prophet. Now, the Shahada is one of the most central prayers in Islam. If you just say the Shahada, that's enough to convert you to Islam. It's the fundamental statement of faith. And it's, you know, and it's repeated five times a day because it's embedded into the Adhan, which is the call to prayer, that they call from the minarets, you know, five times a day in the Middle East.
Is that the one that Barack Obama said that there was no more beautiful sound than that at sunset, was it? Or
yeah, Barack Obama was in Nicholas Kristof's office in 2008. He's a writer for the New York Times, and they were talking about Islam because the issue had come up that Obama went to a madrasa. Well, Obama did not go to a madrasa. That's a particular kind of Islamic school for boys. Obama had Islamic instruction, however, in the 4 years he was in Indonesia, and he attended the mosque with his Indonesian stepfather. And so in this conversation, Obama just recites the Adhan in Arabic. And Kristof, who's dumbfounded, says that that was a perfect recitation. Even the accent was good. And Obama comments, it was the most beautiful sound at sunset to hear the Adhan being, called forth from the minarets in the mosques in a city. So again, Obama's familiar with the prayer. He knows the prayer. That's proof positive. He knows the prayer. And what it turns out is that this Shahada jewelry is common throughout the Middle East.
That was my next question.
Yeah, I mean it's common both as a wall adornment and as jewelry, because people wear it very much like Christians might wear a cross, or Jews might wear a Star of David, as jewelry. Same way that in Islam they'll wear the saying of the Shahada, because the Arabian calligraphy is, to me it all just looks like spaghetti.
Right.
But it can be very beautifully done and very artistically put together. So when the Shahada, or the first part of the Shahada, whatever they do, is put on jewelry, it's recognizable.
And Dr. Corsi, we have to take a quick break, and sure, we will be right back.
Hi, I'm Brian Brody. Have you ever lost your power and simply wanted to flip a switch to turn your lights back on? If so, this message is the most important you will ever hear, because there's never been a better time to get off the grid and generate your own supply of electrical power. Solar power generators are now available. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving electrical power when you need it most. Unlike gas generators, a solar generator runs quietly, emits no fumes, and produces electricity from the sun. It's like running an electric power plant in your own home. Hurricanes, ice storms, brownouts, blackouts, you'll never suffer through painful power outages again.
And if you'd like to learn how you can get a solar generator for your family, just go to teapartypowerhour.com and click on the appropriate ad. While you're there, you'll also see ads for solar ovens, extended life light bulbs, and life-saving survival food packets.
Are you worried about the economy? Have you ever wondered if the politicians and the bankers are going to bring the whole thing crashing down? If so, pay close attention. Because in an economic meltdown, non-hybrid seeds could become more valuable than even silver and gold. After all, securing a source of food for your family is the single most important thing you can do. Introducing the Survival Seed Bank, the perfect mix of germination-tested non-hybrid seeds. You get enough seeds to plant a full-acre crisis garden that can produce an endless supply of nutrient-dense food for you and your family. And the best part is that these seeds have not been genetically modified in any way. Remember, in a real economic crisis, non-hybrid seeds are the ultimate barter item. Prepare your family today.
Prepare your family today by going to teapartypowerhour.com and clicking on the ad for the Survival Seed Bank. Now, while you're there, you're going to see ads for a lot of other products that can help your family in the event of a disaster, whether the disaster is government-made or natural. You're going to see ads for things like solar-powered ovens, solar-powered electrical supplies, and freeze-dried food that can provide your family with immediate nutrition in the event of an economic meltdown. Once again, the place to go is teapartypowerhour.com. And we are back with Dr. Jerome Corsi. He's talking about Barack Obama's ring, which hides a Islamic message that would be very well known to anyone who practices that particular faith. Dr. Corsi, you were saying that these rings are very common in the Middle East. My question is the prayer always this cryptic in the jewelry? One would think they would just wear it out there proudly and not look for a cryptic inscription.
Well, Mark, what's happening is, to me now, after I've studied it, and to the natural Arabic speakers that we're showing it to, who are familiar with the Shahada, it jumps out at you. I mean, it's no longer hard to read. It's just like, I mean, starting in high school, I took, I was in Jesuit school, I took 4 years of Latin and 2 years of Greek, ancient Greek. Well, at first, the Greek language is impossible to read. Even today, I can easily read Greek, because it no longer looks like strange letters. I see them immediately for what they are. And the Shahada design is so ubiquitous, it's everywhere in the Muslim world, that the word, you know, especially the word Allah, which is embedded in the Shahada, there's no God except Allah, it's just there. You see it. That was the first word that Joel Gilbert saw when he looked at it. He said, Allah is right there. And then it was Mark Gabriel who said, well, it's the Shahada. So it's not hard to read. Now, a lot of the criticism we were getting yesterday, since this article came out, and it created a firestorm. I mean, I think the article was published on Tuesday. It had a firestorm all over the country and the internet. Mainstream media, of course, avoided the story.
But, of course.
You know, but the internet was ablaze with discussion and arguments over this, and various people like the Glenn Beck's Blaze, a committee, they called up an expert at Duke who confirmed that, yes, it had the Shahada in it. They were shocked. They wanted it not to be there, I believe, from the nature of the discussion they put on the Internet. Someone yesterday, one of the guys who does this About.com posting, a guy named David Emery, who is a hardline Obama partisan. He's also written articles saying, oh, the birth certificate is not fake, and Obama's a natural-born citizen.
Sure.
He's like the Snopes.com group. He's a fact-checker with a strong Obama bias.
It sure sounds like it.
So he came out and he wrote a piece. He said, well, we have this ring here from Obama that was a Getty picture, and the Getty picture was taken, I believe, in 2009, and the squiggles that constitute the Arabic letter are different in this ring than they don't show the Shahada. Now, we've been studying that ring for 2 days, and it's pretty clear, we've documented, that Obama has said that this ring has been repaired. We're going to show in the next article on WND the comparison between the pictures of Huffington Post published in 2010 of Obama's wedding ring from 1992, in which the Shahada is absolutely clear, and this ring from Getty, in which it's obscured. So it's conceivable that either this image of this ring, and we've compared it to other images on the White House website and on Flickr White House, it looks like this ring when studying this ring, our first analysis of it is that the ring in this picture has been altered. The pixels are altered. It may have been sharpened. It may have been changed. But again, we don't have a complete evaluation. It's also possible that it's the same ring. The picture is not altered. And the ring has been modified so as to obscure the shah, the, you know, there is no God but Allah, Shahada saying. It was written on the ring in 1992.
Is it possible that realizing this was going to cause problems for him, he had the ring altered?
I think that's a plausible hypothesis. And again, the fact is, Obama will not answer questions on this ring. Won't allow anybody. He has not, in 30 years that he's been wearing it, give an explanation of where he got it, why it's so important to him, what significance. I mean, you know, I don't have a piece of jewelry I've worn for 30 years.
Only thing that comes close for me is my Texas A&M college ring, which I guess I've had on for 26, 27.
Well, I mean, a college ring or a wedding ring, but this is a ring people will wear, you know, for much of their lives, if not their entire lives. But this is a ring that was preceded by 10 years of Obama being married to Michelle. And so what's the emotional significance? Why is he so attached to this ring?
Can I play devil's advocate with you for a minute? There are going
to
be people out there that say, you know what, Dr. Corsi, I agree with you. The ring says what you say it says, but because Obama wears this ring doesn't necessarily mean that he agrees with the statement. This is obviously some sort of a family heirloom. It probably belonged to his father or his grandfather, and it's very, very special to him. But we all have pieces of heirloom jewelry in our family, and it doesn't necessarily mean we agree with every inscription that's on it. I can hear the left saying that now.
Well, I mean, here's what I'm saying in that. First of all, I'm a Christian. I'm never going to wear any piece of jewelry that says there's no God but Allah. Not going to happen.
Same here.
Second, the main argument I'm making with this ring is, you know, we don't know whether Obama's Muslim. He says he's Christian. I don't see much evidence for it. But I can't read inside his heart or mind. The simple thing is, why doesn't he answer some questions? I think what we've achieved is a point where there's enough here not to judge that Obama's Islamic, but to merit wanting to know what this ring is, where he got it, what significance it has to him, and why he's wearing it, and to examine the ring to see if it's been altered or changed, to see, you know, if the pictures that were clearly the Shahada statement in 1992 were altered or changed on the ring. It deserves some answers. And of course, Obama is short on answering anything about his life.
Well, we're still wondering why he voluntarily gave up his license to practice law, as did Michelle. I think this ring, along with why he gave up his license to practice law, are two of those questions that are on that list that you're not supposed to ask him because he's the chosen one. He's Barack Obama. If it were Mitt Romney, if it were Sarah Palin, if it were George W. Bush, those questions would have already been asked. But the media is on his side. As you know, we've got the closest thing we've ever had to a state-run media with this guy being in the White House. So my question to you is, given the fact that the media is going to try to do everything it can to keep this quiet, at least until the election, what can we do to get the word out? What's your expectation on its possible impact on the election?
I mean, again, first of all, I'm just reporting the truth as I see it. And this I'm reporting as soon as I discovered it. I've been working on this since July, and it just came together for me. I haven't been saving this or timing this. We just literally figured this ring out.
Mm-hmm.
Within the last 10 days. And we're publishing it as quickly as we can. What impact is it going to have on the election? I don't know, if any. I mean, it's going to raise questions for many people. The hard Obama supporters don't seem to be willing to absorb any negative information at all about Obama, the most extreme being the Obots. I mean,
mm-hmm.
In our article today on WND, we're showing that once this article was published, we've had over 2,000 comments on the forum, and a whole group of new people showed up, like Obots, you know, Obots meaning Obama robots,
mm-hmm.
to support Obama with comments putting down the ring, you know, that, oh, it doesn't say that, we don't see it, you know, it's like reading the Procter & Gamble signs, a logo to see the devil signs. And you're just reading things into it. You know, your imagination is too active. Or yes, the saying's there, but maybe he didn't know, or maybe it didn't mean anything to him. Well, you know, all this nonsense in terms of defensive responses indicate to me that the Obots are not open to truth about Obama. The thing about Obama is that he incites a cult-like adoration and defense, which reminds me of people like Stalin or Mao when they were in power, and a press like Pravda that would not dare investigate, you know, okay, so Joseph Stalin kills 30 million people. Well, we're going to report on what he had for dinner that night, because that's the only thing that's really important about Joseph Stalin.
Well,
Ask him whether he likes green chili or red chili.
I have been fighting these types of people for a long time. Long before I met you, I fought side by side with Christopher Monckton, who's now writing for WorldNet Daily.
Right.
And we fought the Gorbots. In fact, I can recall in some cases being in a chat room on scientific websites a little bit in over my head, and I would send an email to Lord Monckton saying, hey, I'm doing the best I can, but I need your help. And, you know, he would fly into the room with his cape with a big C on it, open a can of British whoop-ass, and, you know, he would take care of the situation for me. But we fought the Gorbots. Now, my first encounter with the Obots actually involves you, sir. When you released the book, Where's the birth certificate? They were doing everything they could to destroy you on the Amazon.com website. They had all these threads that had started, and everything was negative about Jerome Corsi. And I began to notice something at that point. The names, the nicknames I saw at the site run by PJ Foggy, the Fogbo site, some of those names were posting there. I also noticed that these people followed me around to YouTube. And the really interesting thing, Dr. Corsi, was that occasionally, and I'm a bit of an insomniac, but occasionally I would post something at 3 in the morning about, you know, defending you on Amazon.com, defending your work, defending your book. And within 90 seconds, one of these people would show up, one of these Obots, and they would be attacking me for defending you. So I came to the conclusion that this is, in fact, a paid group of people. They are professionals. A lot of them are attorneys, I guess hired because of their ability to debate in a public forum. And they go, they basically monitor the internet for stuff like this. And then once they found something that they considered damaging to Barack Obama, they ring the alarm bells, and then they start showing up, you know, by the dozens. That's been my experience with the Gorbots. That's been my experience with the Obots, who, you know, have attacked anything related to eligibility and, for obvious reasons, have attacked you viciously. Dr. Corsi, we have to take a quick break to do a little business with America, but when we get back, I'd like to get your response to these professional Obots who seem to monitor the internet 24/7, prepared to defend anything that might damage their chosen one, Barack Obama.
Hi, I'm Brian Brody. Have you ever lost your power and simply wanted to flip a switch to turn your lights back on? If so, this message is the most important you will ever hear, because there's never been a better time to get off the grid and generate your own supply of electrical power. Solar power generators are now available. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving electrical power when you need it most. Unlike gas generators, a solar generator runs quietly, emits no fumes, and produces electricity from the sun. It's like running an electric power plant in your own home. Hurricanes, ice storms, brownouts, blackouts, you'll never suffer through painful power outages again.
And if you'd like to learn how you can get a solar generator for your family, just go to teapartypowerhour.com and click on the appropriate ad. While you're there, you'll also see ads for solar ovens, extended life light bulbs, and life-saving survival food packets.
Are you worried about the economy? Have you ever wondered if the politicians and the bankers are going to bring the whole thing crashing down? If so, pay close attention. Because in an economic meltdown, non-hybrid seeds could become more valuable than even silver and gold. After all, securing a source of food for your family is the single most important thing you can do. Introducing the Survival Seed Bank, the perfect mix of germination-tested non-hybrid seeds. You get enough seeds to plant a full-acre crisis garden that can produce an endless supply of nutrient-dense food for you and your family. And the best part is that these seeds have not been genetically modified in any way. Remember, in a real economic crisis, non-hybrid seeds are the ultimate barter item. Prepare your family today.
Prepare your family today by going to TeaPartyPowerHour.com and clicking on the ad for the Survival Seed Bank. Now, while you're there, you're going to see ads for a lot of other products that can help your family in the event of a disaster, whether the disaster is government-made or natural. You're going to see ads for things like solar-powered ovens, solar-powered electrical supplies, and freeze-dried food that can provide your family with immediate nutrition in the event of an economic meltdown. Once again, the place to go is TeaPartyPowerHour.com. And we are back with Dr. Jerome Corsi. Dr. Corsi, when we left off, you were about to comment on these OBOTs, many of whom seem like it might be their full-time job.
Well, I've noticed the same thing. We've all suspected that the OBOTs, these, you know, defenders of Obama on the internet, are paid and organized. Proving it is harder than just watching their behavior and deducing it. But what I've also noticed that the left, and this, we're dealing now, this is not the Democratic Party of Jack Kennedy or Hubert Humphrey. It's the political party of Bill Ayers and the revolutionaries and Saul Alinsky. And, you know, reading Saul Alinsky, the tactics are demonize your opponent, especially when you can't refute the argument. And the techniques they use are very common. In other words, you find a real expert who says that the Shahad is there, and they say, yeah, but Joe Blow over here doesn't see it. Well, because you have one and they have one, theirs is equivalent to yours, even though the level of expertise might not qualify the person they pick. It's just anything you have an argument, they have to have a counter-argument. Either their counter-argument is not logical or not responsive or even self-contradictory. It doesn't matter. Just so they have a place filler argument to go against yours. And then they say that you've been debunked.
Mm-hmm.
You don't answer their criticism, when the truth is their criticism didn't merit even consideration. But the point is, look, the ring is gonna be intriguing. It intrigued me. I mean, why does a guy wear a wedding ring on his left hand for all these years, Occidental through Harvard? You know, it's 11 years till he's married. It intrigued the students at Harvard. And then Obama won't answer why he's got the ring. Now, right there, you got a mystery going. What's this?
Sure.
Why is this ring so secret? You can't tell me what's on it. What's it? Where you got it? I mean, if it really was, I said, oh, look, it was my father's, and I wear it because I love my father. Well, did you know it has the Shahad on it? So that's not why I wear the ring. I wear it because I love my father. But Obama doesn't do that. Obama says, you know, nothing about the ring. No explanation. Then it comes up, and he gets married, and he uses the ring. And when Jody Kantor in 2010 wants to write, you know, this hagiography about her idol, Barack Obama, this is a New York Times reporter. Barack, they wheel out this ring, pictures of the ring from the wedding, and say, oh, it was just an intricate Indonesian design. Okay, well, they don't reveal that's the ring that was not bought for the wedding, but it's the same ring he's worn since Occidental. We have to find that out. Now the mystery develops and say, now, why would Obama get married with this ring? Why would Michelle not have said, if you're marrying me, you're going to wear a ring I buy?
Yeah.
It'll be my ring. That's going to be somebody else's ring in your life that was important to you. I'm the important person in your life. I'm your wife. I mean, you know, any woman I would marry, I wouldn't marry a woman that wouldn't say something like that. I want a woman who is that clear and defined in her personality and who she is that she says, you better not have any girlfriends, because if you do, you're done with me. That's the kind of woman I want. Okay, now, Michelle says, oh, that's okay, honey, whatever ring you want, I don't care, just bring it on. And or Obama saying, you know, my marriage to you is arranged. I'm homosexual anyway. I don't care about you. You don't care about me. This is just the ring we're using. You know, that's the problem here with not saying, not explaining, not telling, hoping it's going to be not noticed. And now these pictures that they've produced and, you know, about.com, this guy Don Emery is defending Obama left and right. Well, now he's deep in the mystery again. Did they alter the ring in the White House in order to obscure the message?
Good
because
question.
It was clearly there in 1992, and every expert who looks at that 1992 ring can see it, and this ring they're showing now on about.com looks totally altered. Or was the picture altered? Because the pixel structure in this picture, it resembles Photoshop alteration. You know, what's the deal here? Why can't we see the original ring, examine it, ask these questions, and get them answered?
Because everything about the man...
If there's nothing to it, then explain it and let it go away. Otherwise, Obama, I can guarantee you, is taking the same steps with his ring that he took with the birth certificate, and he's going to manage to end up convincing anybody, without me accusing him, that he's hiding that he's Muslim. Because otherwise, why not just come forward with the information?
Would you agree with the statement that every single document that could support that cockamamie life narrative in Dreams from My Father, every single document that could lend support to that narrative has either been sealed, lost, accidentally destroyed, altered, or completely forged?
Yeah, I'll go one step further. When we do get documents, for instance, I managed to get the transcript from the University of Washington, with Ann Dunham attending school within weeks of when the baby was born.
Mm-hmm.
And then we took a lot of research. We got the university to send us the catalog. We had to prove that these were night courses, that she had to attend them on the university, that they weren't extension courses she could take in Hawaii. We had to find where she lived and the address and the babysitter and all of that. And that proved that the family did not stay together in Hawaii as one happy little family. She split immediately. Now, the reason that was so damaging is because it raises the issue, were they ever married? And then we get the INS records from Barack Obama Sr., the Kenyan, who I don't think is the father. I think Joel Gilbert's right on this. He's not the father. The INS in 1961 said, these two aren't married. The Kenyan's over there. He's got a dozen girlfriends at the university. They don't live together. This is the kind of information the INS was using in 1961 to say this is an arranged marriage. The INS used to bring two couples in separately, a couple in separately, and ask them each about what the other liked to have for breakfast.
Sure.
Once they found discrepancies of information, they said arranged marriage, they're not married, we're not going to extend visa privileges. And they didn't believe the baby was his.
I saw that.
It was in the record that they were going to put this baby up for adoption at the Salvation Army. What's that all about? And that was hidden in the records. It wasn't until the Boston Globe reporter found a file that has not been redacted at the INS, and we learned that that's what that redaction was about, was to hide the adoption with the Salvation Army.
Mm.
You know, I mean, the point is, all Obama has said about his life is a lie. So the first premise with Obama that I begin with is, if he says he's Christian, he's lying. He says that the Kenyan is his father, he's lying, because he lies about everything. And so this is all just a cover story.
Well, that sort of throws a monkey wrench in all the birtherism, though, because if Frank Marshall Davis, for example, is his real father, then he's got two U.S. citizen parents, and he is eligible to be president.
No. The problem is that I maintain the baby was still born in Kenya because the family was so invested in this cover-up that they went to Kenya to have the baby born. And if the baby was born outside the country, the baby's not going to be qualified to be a natural-born citizen, even if there's two U.S. citizen parents.
Okay, so you're not saying he was born in Hawaii with Frank Marshall Davis as the father. You're still saying there was a Kenyan birth.
Yeah. And and what I said precisely about Joel Gilbert was that Joel was right in that the Kenyan's not the dad. Now, I think he's got an excellent argument. My first candidate for the dad is Frank Marshall Davis. We won't know until we get DNA. And I'm also convinced that Joel Gilbert is right, that the dad, you know, that Frank Marshall Davis is the ideological father of Barack Obama. That part of the movie, I think, is indisputable. Some of the speculation Joel does in the beginning, I think, is yet in the speculation category and has not been 100%, but it's still important to watch. It's a video, I think, that changes and reframes your idea of Obama, because it does make the case very convincingly that the Kenyan wasn't the father. And that's, I think, the public record.
Do you believe that Frank Marshall Davis
looked like Barack Obama?
Do you believe that Frank Marshall Davis may have sexually molested Stanley Ann Dunham and Barack Obama?
Yes. Whether or not he's the dad. I think Frank Marshall Davis sexually molested everything. Probably the dogs and cats. And if you've actually read his novel, Sex Rebel Black, or his autobiographical writings in his various books, this is a guy who in old age combed the beaches to pick up white women from the mainland because he was an exotic islander.
Hmm.
And, there are women who go on sexual holidays to third world countries for that precise purpose. And Frank Marshall realized the opportunity and took advantage of it. He's got twosomes, threesomes. He talks about homosexual relationships, relationships with underage. I mean, the only thing he doesn't directly talk about is bestiality. Frank Marshall
probably didn't get around to it. Well, with Frank Marshall Davis, too, you got the poem Pop.
Yeah.
And I got to tell you, it doesn't take much literary skill to read that poem and know that whatever child that is about is being sexually abused.
So I want to make it 100% clear. I fully endorse Joel's work. And I think that his hypothesis is more than interesting. It's probably likely. Okay? But again, there's a difference between likely and proved. What is proved, I think, by Joel is that the Kenyan's not the father. That, I think, is ironclad. And that Frank Marshall Davis and his influence over Obama, he's the ideological dad, startling and absolutely clear. So I've endorsed Joel's film, and I've helped Joel. Joel has used a lot of my research, including a lot of the research into the nude pictures of Ann Dunham.
Mm-hmm.
Exploring all the relationship between Ann Dunham. And you know, Joel raises some very interesting questions. Ann Dunham and the family afterwards brought little Barry over to be with Frank Marshall Davis regularly, two or three times a week. Why? He's just a guy or an uncle or, you know, if he's a dad, yeah, maybe they take him over regularly to be with his dad. Very compelling point. The age spots on their faces, their teeth, the pictures of the other children, Frank Marshall Davis. This is compelling evidence that Joel has produced in this film. What we're saying this also, Mark, about The Ring, is that there is so many mysteries in Obama, and when you research Obama, there are so many lies that after a while, when you look at this ring and you realize he's been wearing it for 30 years and refuses to address it when people question it, that's not normal.
No, it's not normal at all. But then again, what about Barack Obama is normal?
And what's he hiding? That's the issue.
We have to take a quick break, but we'll be right back with Dr. Jerome Corsi in just a moment.
Hi, I'm Brian Brody. Have you ever lost your power and simply wanted to flip a switch to turn your lights back on? If so, this message is the most important you will ever hear, because there's never been a better time to get off the grid and generate your own supply of electrical power. Solar power generators are now available. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving electrical power when you need it most. Unlike gas generators, a solar generator runs quietly, emits no fumes, and produces electricity from the sun. It's like running an electric power plant in your own home. Hurricanes, ice storms, brownouts, blackouts, you'll never suffer through painful power outages again.
And if you'd like to learn how you can get a solar generator for your family, just go to teapartypowerhour.com and click on the appropriate ad. While you're there, you'll also see ads for solar ovens, extended life light bulbs, and life-saving survival food packets.
Are you worried about the economy? Have you ever wondered if the politicians and the bankers are going to bring the whole thing crashing down? If so, pay close attention. Because in an economic meltdown, non-hybrid seeds could become more valuable than even silver and gold. After all, securing a source of food for your family is the single most important thing you can do. Introducing the Survival Seed Bank, the perfect mix of germination-tested non-hybrid seeds. You get enough seeds to plant a full-acre crisis garden that can produce an endless supply of nutrient-dense food for you and your family. And the best part is that these seeds have not been genetically modified in any way. Remember, in a real economic crisis, non-hybrid seeds are the ultimate barter item. Prepare your family today.
Prepare your family today by going to teapartypowerhour.com and clicking on the ad for the Survival Seed Bank. Now, while you're there, you're going to see ads for a lot of other products that can help your family in the event of a disaster, whether the disaster is government-made or natural. You're going to see ads for things like solar-powered ovens, solar-powered electrical supplies, and freeze-dried food that can provide your family with immediate nutrition in the event of an economic meltdown. Once again, the place to go is teapartypowerhour.com. And we are back with Dr. Jerome Corsi of WorldNet Daily. You know, Dr. Corsi, a while back I had Dr. Caroline Heldman of Occidental University on, and she was trying to sell me on the idea that the reason we all don't like Barack Obama is because we fear the other. What are your thoughts on Dr. Heldman's comment?
The other is just a variation of the Saul Alinsky technique of calling us racist. And I think what you see with Obama is Obama has been so protected, affirmative action, affirmative action, affirmative action, that he can't be hard questioned. You saw that in the first debate.
Right.
And I think with Obama, the problem is going to be that he's been so sheltered, he doesn't think well on his feet. And again, questioning him, he can't respond. So it is, again, the only defense they've got is, oh, you're trying to make him other, or which is a code word for racist, you're a racist.
Mm-hmm.
Look, I'm happy we've broken the barrier and that there's a first black president. I'll be equally happy when we have a woman president, because then we're through with this nonsense of having to wait for the first one. Well, you know, but the point is, I don't care. Margaret Thatcher was a great prime minister. I care who the person is, what their thinking is, and their capabilities to do the job. Now, that Barack Obama is black is, to me, irrelevant. But, you know, we're going to get accused of trying to make him other because you're not supposed to question him. That defense is there because he can't be questioned. He can't survive questioning.
Like I said, I mean, I would love to see one reporter ask him about giving up his license to practice law. I'd love to see one reporter ask him about the ring. I'd love to see one reporter say you've spent $2 million keeping people from looking at your long-form birth certificate. If there's nothing to hide, why would you spend that kind of money to keep people from looking at it? There are a lot of common sense questions that
Mark,
reporters...
Guess what impact we're going to have with these arguments if it doesn't get into the mainstream? What I'm going to tell you is that it's actually, we're having more impact than if it was in the mainstream. Because if it's not in the mainstream, creates another level of intrigue for people. Why is this information being withheld? It increases intensity. I get people who are so mad that this information is not being, you know, just broadcast everywhere. They email me like they're unhappy with anything that doesn't just march into the White House, arrest him, and frog march him out of there in handcuffs. They're so mad and upset. Well, you wouldn't get that level of intensity if the mainstream media was doing its job.
In the Harry Potter movies, there's a character named Voldemort, and they refer to him as he whose name must not be spoken. And that's the same thing with the ring, the same thing with the birth certificate, the same thing with all these anomalies and documents that support his life narrative. And what I can tell you, and this is kind of interesting, is that people are writing me and telling me that they will hear people go on a mainstream media show and they'll hear it live and the birth certificate is discussed. But when that show is posted in the archives of that particular on-air personality, regardless of which side of the argument the guest was on, everything about the birth certificate gets scrubbed out of the show.
Right. Well, it's like the political. I mean, this is a technique that, you know, George Orwell talks about in 1984. It's the memory hole. You know, things get erased, changed. The point is, I think that by not answering these questions, by allowing these mysteries to go, by putting out a cover story that is not true, which is like every page of Dreams from My Father, by running a campaign in which it's constantly exposed the lie, you know, the Saul, I wrote that short book, Saul Alinsky, The Evil Genius Behind Obama, between reading Saul Alinsky's book, Rules for Radical, my explanation of it, and Joel Gilbert's film on Frank Marshall Davis and everything Frank Marshall Davis wrote, you've got the explanation of why Barack Obama has the socialist views he has. And they did. They worked very hard over time when I came out with the abomination to say that, you know, again, I was a racist, I was a radical, I was extremist. Today, those points about Obama, redistributing income, being a far-left extremist, virtually being a communist, this is common knowledge about Obama. It's no longer debated, even though it never came into the mainstream, because it's compelling enough information, it's going to attract people, and it just like with The Ring, I mean, this next article I write, which is going to show you, you know, The Ring, that the Getty picture and what the Obots are arguing, and About.com and other places, and saying, okay, did The Ring get modified? Now we got another mystery.
I think they're always going to defend him. You could have a video of him saying that he was born in Kenya, and they would come back with, well, it may have sounded like he said he was born in Kenya, but he was actually being sarcastic.
But
you just don't appreciate
it. Exposing how they defend him by making it clear the Saul Alinsky tactics. We've educated a large segment of the American people to understand how the far left works, which we never would have done had we not had Barack Obama. They wouldn't understand how they've been lied to. Now we're at the verge of being able to take the entire mainstream media and say these people have no credibility whatsoever. The Pravda. Now, this guy killed 30 million people. His name is Joseph Stalin, and they're not reporting it. And that's, I think, when people say NBC, CBS, ABC, they just don't watch the nightly news anymore. People aren't buying the New York. They can't publish the Wall Street Journal any smaller without handing out a magnifying glass.
Speaking of these people, are you at all surprised that some of our biggest conservative mouthpieces, like Sean Hannity, Glenn Beck, who am I leaving out, Mark Levin, Rush Limbaugh, are actually appearing to conspire with the Rachel Maddows and the Chris Matthews and the Keith Obermans of the world in covering these things up about Obama? Because,
well, they're cowered into it because they're going to lose their jobs if they decided to, you know, the directive comes down from on high, Roger Ailes' office or whatever, saying, we're not going to talk about this. Now, if you violate that directive at the expense of your job, and most of these people, you know, value their, how much money they're making, they're not going to be putting their jobs at risk. The point, though, is that the coming, watch how fast this changes. I think Obama's going to lose in a massive landslide. I think the majority of people have decided, they've watched him, they've seen it, he's a fraud, he's not who he says he is, he looks like a Muslim, he acts like a communist, and he talks like a liar. And they're finished with him. And when that happens, all the mainstream media and all the people in the conservative media and all, you know, the rhinos in Congress, including Boehner, especially Boehner, are going to be turned on very fast, because within the next 6 months, what we've argued about Obama, what I've argued, the truths we brought forward, are again going to become common knowledge. It's going to be common knowledge, just like Jack Kennedy, that Obama has been promiscuous. Only Jack Kennedy was promiscuous with women. Barack Obama's got all these men. And the men are going to come forward. They're going to say, I was Barack Obama's lover. They're going to write a book and try to claim credit. It's going to have, and the other group's going to come forward and say, he's been doing dope. They're going to talk about how the golf is not golf, but it's sex. They don't play golf. You ever seen Barack Obama hit a golf ball?
About like he bowls.
About like he throws a baseball.
Yeah, like a girl.
Four guys out. We go out on the golf carts. Let him take some pictures of us. And then we close down the clubhouse. We got the bathhouse to ourselves for 3 or 4 hours. The orgy. Nice place to do drugs and have an orgy. That's golf.
So the Shoom gang is still around, huh?
Never left. Or the pickup basketball.
I've heard about that as well.
Yeah, Barack Obama doesn't play pickup basketball. Takes a few photo ops. He's done so many drugs, I don't know if he could run around the court. And when I asked about the drugs, they demean me. Now, Larry Sinclair really broke the barrier on that one with the book he wrote and the tales he told about homosexual sex with Obama and the drugs. But Larry Sinclair's turning point was when the federal district court threw out the defamation case, telling Parisi, who did the lie detector test, that Larry did not obviously lie. Federal District Court did not even let the case be heard in court. They said, you haven't met the threshold here of establishing your points, not prima facie. And Larry was vindicated. Now, Larry also said that Axelrod put $750,000 in Parisi's pocket to rig that lie detector test. And the judge specifically threw that contention out. Said Larry did not obviously lie saying that. Now, when I saw that, I said, back to when you go back and look, you'll see me on Fox with Alan Combs, and I'm saying, you know, I don't think Barack Obama stopped doing drugs. He said he just stopped in college. I said, yeah, Alan, that's why we drug test in sports, because people who do drugs are notoriously unreliable when they self-report that they've quit. We don't have any physical reports on Obama. We don't have any doctor reports. We don't have any drug testing. And you're not going to get any.
You were making way too much sense for Alan Combs. I mean, come on. I'm sorry, but let's talk about one of the difficulties that we've all faced as we've tried to launch these investigations. For example, sent a FOIA request to the Selective Service system that should have been answered, and they basically said that information does not exist, which was pure BS. Eventually, after this election, if Romney wins, and like you, I think he will, those minions of Barack Obama are not necessarily going to be in place to deny such things. So
we're
going to get
a lot of information. It's, again, look at there's biblical references I can point you to that say the truth outs. You can't keep something suppressed. It's going to come out. We're going to get documents. We're going to get testimony. People who are sitting on top of things are going to release it. The intelligence agencies are going to release more of what they've got. Within 6 months of Obama leaving, his reputation is going to be in the process of being trashed.
I want to thank you for being here today. You've got a book out, The Great Oil Conspiracy. I'm working with your publicist to have you back on the show to talk about that. I look forward to that as well in less than a couple of weeks. For now, thanks for coming on and talking about The Ring. We will ask everyone to stay apprised of it by going to WorldNet Daily and keeping an eye on your articles.
I'm Mark. Thanks. Great pleasure to be with you today.
Always great talking with you, Jerry. Have a great day.
Thank you.
And that's going to do it for the Tea Party Power Hour today. I want to remind everyone, if you have not gone to congressdoyourjob.com and signed our petition, please do so. We need to demand that Congress investigate all of the eligibility issues regarding Barack Obama. Once you've signed the petition, please pass it on to as many of your conservative friends as possible. Once again, thanks for being here today.
You've been listening to the Tea Party Power Hour with Mark Gillard.